9 o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning. Sefer Mitzvot number 96, Tuma.
So I didn't know what to call it because you'll see what I want to introduce to you is something that I think initially everybody here will reject or think is wrong. But eventually, maybe I can convince you, and if I can't, at least we'll have an interesting conversation. This will be much, much more, philosophic than halachic. But I guess if I said to you, there's a mitzvah saseh in the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam about tumah meaning, impurity, what would you guess that it is?
Burying a dead person, then. Made mitzvah.
You're saying it's a mitzvah to bury, but it's not that.
Despite the fact that...
But it's not that.
Well, the way is a mace.
Right, so you're each referring to, like, acts that involve... Bruce, you're giving out the sheets, right?
Yeah.
Acts that involve people becoming tamei. Right, so obviously you're not thinking about...
Morning.
Nope.
Morning.
The French guy would charge double.
Huh?
Charge double.
You have to get it for Bruce.
Right.
Harvey, here you go.
There's more.
Okay.
The assumption of the suggestion so far was that if it's a mitzvah asay, it must be an imperative. Do this. And if it's a mitzvah lo taseh, it's a prohibition. Don't do this. The Rambam believed there was a third category of mitzvah. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'll back up with just another sense of introduction. We just finished the holiday of Hanukkah. Okay? A homeless person, does he have a mitzvah to light Hanukkah candles?
No.
The answer is no. Because it's a mitzvah that's dependent, or easier example. Does a homeless person have an obligation to put up a mezuzah?
No,
sadly, he has no home. Now, would you say a homeless person has an obligation to buy a home? Okay, it's hard for him, whatever. Has a halachic obligation to buy a home. Homeless person has a halachic obligation to buy a house so that he will then be obligated, or he will then be able to fulfill the mitzvah asay of mezuzah, or the mitzvah d'rabbanan of lighting Hanukkah candles.
And building a gedor on his roof.
Or a makkah, right? There's a mitzvah d'oraisa of putting a fence or a railing around a porch from which people can fall off. So now, let's say you want to buy a house. You're choosing between two homes. One house doesn't have a porch. One house does. So does anybody think you're obligated to buy the house that does have a porch so that you could put up a railing, or so that you then be mekayem the mitzvah? The answer is no. So there's a category of mitzvos that are conditional. If you happen to be in this situation, you're chayev to do X. But if you're not in that situation, you're not chayev to do X. So the mitzvah may never apply to you. Or easy example, I'm not a kohen. There's a whole list of mitzvahs that will never apply to me because I'm not a kohen.
How do you feel about that?
Terrible. Thank you for asking.
Like a kiyumit.
Huh?
Like a mitzvah kiyumit. Like if you...
Maybe. Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
now...
You don't have an option of being a kohen, of becoming a kohen.
Okay, so it was a bad example. The mezuzah one was a good example.
Tzitzis, yeah.
Okay, so tzitzis is an interesting example where technically speaking, if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, you're not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. The halacha has developed over time, so that now we think, that you should be mechayiv yourself in wearing a four-cornered garment. Okay, now...
I'm coming on Pru Revu. People feel
they
should
get... Are we talking about Pru Revu?
That people feel... A guy feels he should get married to do Pru... No, bachelor says, you know what? I have no obligation to Pru Revu, so what if I'm not, not married?
You have a myth. Pru Revu's not conditional.
Well, if you're married, what if you're not married?
No, so... You're supposed to be married. You're supposed to get married, so you can do Peru.
Well, what about the house? Maybe I should have a house if I have to put
so
up
a saying, one is conditional, one is not. Okay? When a person, in the machlokis, whether you're supposed to get married, whether there's a mitzvah to get married or not, everybody says there's a mitzvah of Peru. So maybe getting married is only a hechsher mitzvah. If a person doesn't get married, that's a sad thing. And he's almost certainly mevatel a mitzvah. Okay, there's a lot of reasons why a person could be mevatel a mitzvah, but it's not like mezuzah. The difference is because a homeless person is not mevatel the mitzvah of mezuzah, and a person who never had children is mevatel a mitzvah of peri verivya. Well, you could do that, but that's the answer.
Yeah, why is it?
Because again, because one is a conditional mitzvah and one is not. Right. The same way I am not mevatel the mitzvah of birchas kohanim every day because it doesn't apply to me, is the same reason why I'm not mevatel the mitzvah of makeh if I don't have a makeh. However, if you're a kohen and you're in shul, you are mevatel the mitzvah. Okay? Now, all this by way of introduction. Okay, one last introductory question. I am walking to shul in the morning and I see a dead cat. If I touch the dead cat, I will become tamei. Now you could say I'm tamei already. Is there a prohibition on becoming tamei?
No.
You say no?
No.
Okay, is it a bad thing to become tamei?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
In the days of the temple, you can't bring a korban, so that's the only problem with being tamei. Today, maybe.
Are there any mitzvahs against kohanim becoming tamei?
Okay,
it's
so
it's a problem for kohanim.
Okay, the answer is it's not just a problem; it's an issur d'oraisa for a kohen to become tamei lemeis. It is not a prohibition on me to become tamei lemeis. Is it a bad thing? All things being equal, should I avoid becoming tamei?
Well,
why?
Why? Well, my daily life.
In what way would it disrupt my daily life?
Now you're talking about.
I'm talking about this morning.
It's morning, no, it doesn't make any difference.
Okay, but that makes a difference for a kohen.
Yes.
Okay, let's look at two psukim just to see how unclear this is in the Torah. The first pasuk says, describing foods you can eat, foods you can't eat. So a nevela, an animal that was shechted improperly. Mi bisaram lo tochelu, you can't eat it, it's a nevela. Uven nivlatam lo tigo, and you shouldn't touch them. Tumeim heim lachem, they're tamei. Now, for full disclosure, sometimes the Torah uses the word tamei as a synonym for not kosher. Okay? But here the pasuk says, uvenivlatam lo tigau, don't touch them, because they're tamei. On the other hand, the pasuk of the Torah, a few psukim later, says, ula'ele titamo, to these you can become tamei, kolanogeb nivlatam yitmada arem. You're allowed to touch these dead bodies, and all you have to do afterwards is become tohar. The question is, what's the Torah's relationship with Tuma and Tara? Okay? And more importantly, we're about to read Mitzvat Aseh 96 in the Rambam, which won't make any sense at first, and it all has to do with what constitutes a mitzvah, and what's the Torah's relationship with Tuma and Tara. Okay, so now, let's start reading. Says the Rambam in number 2. V'hamitzvah hatzadivav, the 96th. He shet sivanu lihiyot kol nogea binivela tamei. The Rambam says the 96th mitzvah in the Torah is that anybody who touches a carcass is tamei. Again, just in case it's not clear, the mitzvah is that anybody who touches a nevela becomes tamei. Now, can you touch a nevela? Should you not touch a nevela? First, we're going to understand the Rambam. Then we'll ask questions. What's the mitzvah according to the Rambam? I would suggest it as follows. The mitzvah according to the Rambam is a halachic result. Nothing more, nothing less. We have assumed till now that to be in the Taryag Mitzvos, you have to be either halachic imperative, do this, or a halachic prohibition, don't do this. Right? You have to eat matzah on Pesach. That's a mitzvah saseh. You're prohibited from eating chametz on Pesach. That's a mitzvah lo saseh. Says the Rambam, there is another category of mitzvah satorah that we have not thought of till now. It is a mitzvah aseh that anybody who touches a dead body becomes tamei. Now again, I know how bizarre this sounds to you, but we have to work through it. First, open up your minds to the possibility that we've been wrong all along, and that our assumption that mitzvos are limited to do this, don't do this, is wrong. It's true. That's the majority of mitzvos, but there might be mitzvos that are just halachic rules. And the halachic rule is a person who touches a dead animal or a dead human being becomes the halachic category of tameh. And in case you think I'm making it up, we'll keep reading in the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Umitzvazo kolelet tumat nevela v'chol dinel. Okay, all the various ways that you could become tameh. Va'ani ezkor ata hakdama. Whenever the Rambam says something revolutionary, so he says, first I'll give you a little introduction. Ra'uy shetizkor ota b'chol ma shenizkor mimine hatumot. Rambam says, I'll give you an introduction, which is important for you to remember whenever you deal with issues of impurity. Third line. Vihi. Ki zeh shenimna kol min v'min min hatumot mitzvat asei. That which will count, says the Rambam, each tumah has a mitzvah to asay, and the Rambam counts many, many different types of tumah. There's, you know, touching a dead body, and there's nida, and there's, you know, tzaraas, and there's all different kinds. There's touching a sheretz, and all different ways you become tameh. Says the Rambam, the fact that I count each of those as a separate mitzvah. Ein inyano shenihye chayavim lihitama bitumahahi velo gam kein shenihye anachnu muzharim mihitameba vitihye mitzvat lo tase. Says the Rambam, I know what you're thinking. Rambam says, I know you're sitting there in Efrat, you know, 900 years from now, it's cold, and you're saying, what's the Rambam thinking? He says, I'm not telling you that you're prohibited from becoming tameh. I'm not telling you that it's a mitzvah to become tameh. I am telling you that the mitzvah is when you touch a dead body, you become tameh. No prohibition, no imperative, just a halachic result.
In other words, somebody especially touches the because he wants to have a mitzvah.
So he says, and there's no such thing. Meaning, so the Rambam, okay, so the Rambam would say, that's not what I mean. Okay? The Rambam would say, there's no points allocated to this mitzvah. It's not a good thing if you do it. It's not a good thing if you refrain from doing it. It's just a fact. Rav Soloveitchik used to sometimes say, based on this Rambam and other ones which we can talk about, that it's not taryag mitzvah. So he used to say, it's taryag inyanim. 613 halachic concepts. Now, overwhelmingly, they're do and don't do, but sometimes they're just a result. If you do X, the result is Y. I'm not telling you to do X, and I'm not telling you to refrain from doing X. The mitzvah HaTorah is, if you do X, the result is Y. Okay? Now, you could not like it, and you'll be happy when we get to the Ramban, but you can't argue that I'm misrepresenting the Rambam's position.
No, you're representing him.
Okay, good. And we have incredible respect for the Rambam, so yes. We try to understand his position before we make faces.
It strikes me already at this point that this must be extremely controversial.
Again, but the question is, why would you think it's so controversial? Because it's not what you thought all along.
No, because already at the time of the Gemara, they were trying to separate things into mitzvot aser and mitzvot lo taser.
For sure.
This doesn't...
It is. The Rambam was well aware of all those Gemaras. And he says, it's a mitzvot aser, you know, if I want to turn it into the language you'd be more comfortable with, it's a mitzvot aser to treat a person who touched a dead cat as being tameh. Mm-hmm. Better?
Yeah.
Now,
that sounded better.
Is it good to touch a dead cat? Torah's neutral. See, that's the problem we have. There are situations in which the halacha is neutral about the value of doing something. It just yields a certain result. That's all. Now, even that, 1 second. Yeah. Even there, if I asked you for non-Kohanim and Levim, let's say, is it good or, you know, should, let's say you're walking to shul and there's a dead cat. Should you avoid, all things being equal, should you avoid the dead cat or not? So I would have said, yeah, because being tameh is bad. But the answer is being tameh may not be bad. See, we think of, and it's a language thing, we think of tameh and tohar as good and bad. It's not true. Just like kodesh and hol, isn't necessarily good and bad either, right? It's not true that God made the world in a way that Shabbos is Kodesh and 6 days are Chol. It wouldn't work, you know, they're relative terms. So why do we think that Tameh is bad? Because you can't go to the bed. Because it does have negative results, right? And A, it has negative practical results, like you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. And B, it also has this association, and it's not just something we made up. You know, death is a bad thing. Right? Life is a good thing, death is a bad thing. We think of Tumah as being associated with death because in fact it is. So we're not crazy for having this idea that Tumah is bad, but we're wrong to think that Tumah is Usur.
What about the Paraduma? The Tumah is good. It's good.
Why is Tumah good?
Because the one who administers it becomes Tumah, and he's making somebody else.
Okay, so you're saying I found a situation in which, see, I wouldn't think that being that what he's saying is the way a person becomes Tohar from Tumas Meis is he has to have somebody sprinkle Afar Paraduma on him. That person who sprinkles becomes Tumah. So I would think that's a price the person pays for doing a good deed. Much like a Kohen who loses one of the Zion Krovim becomes Tameh. It's a bad thing for a Kohen to be Tameh, but it's a good thing for a Kohen to mourn his parents.
So why should he pay? We think he's paying a price.
I can't answer that question. It's a fair question. I can't answer it.
I thought the Rambam characterizes mitzvot as either good for health or elevating you.
You're exaggerating.
Way.
The Rambam talks generally. The more nevuchim,
elevating the person, making them a better person.
No, so I'm telling you that's not true.
Just as a result.
So I'm telling you that's not true. Bigadol, the Rambam finds good results from positive mitzvot and bad results from negative mitzvot. That doesn't mean every mitzvah has to fit into those categories. Here, the Rambam saying it's neither.
So he's talking about personal status, right? You
correct.
Become Tameh.
Halachic personal status, correct.
Right. Okay, so what would he say? What does he say, for instance, about Avigdut or Onanut?
Ah, so maybe we'll come
is
to that at the end.
Personal status make, is that a mitzvah to be an Onan?
Yes. Yes.
It is a mitzvah.
Yes. It's a mitzvah for her Kohen to be Mechalel his Kahuna to mourn one of the Zion Krovim. Correct.
No, we look back.
Huh?
Any one of us.
No.
Where a relative dies.
No.
We automatically become an Onen.
Right.
Is was that a mitzvah?
Yes. Well, no. Again, we automatically become
logic,
we
be
automatically become an Avel. But the Avelus has things we're supposed to do. We have to sit on the floor. We're not allowed to wear shoes. We're not allowed to bathe. It has practical implications. To call somebody an Onen is to call somebody, you know, the word Aninus carries with it halachic imperatives and halachic prohibitions. So you're right, you found a parallel that sounds the same, but I'm not sure it's exactly the same because it has obligations. Let's read on. We are in the fifth line now. First word, va'amnam, however. Heyot ha-Torah omeret, ki mi shi'yiga b'zeh ha-min nitma. Once the Torah says, a person who touches a dead cat becomes tameh. O zeh ha-davar yitma al-tar kach, l'misha naga bo, he mitzvat asei. Says the Rambam, when the Torah says, you do X, the result is Y, that's a mitzvat asei. Again, I could say it in a way that makes it more palatable to you, but it doesn't change the fact. Here, do it this way. The Torah says that a person who lights a fire on Shabbos is chayiv kares. The Rambam says, the Torah says, a person who touches a dead cat becomes tameh. Now, it's true. The Torah doesn't want you to light a fire on Shabbos, and it's a punishment. Whereas Tumah is not a punishment. But the Rambam is simply saying that constitutes a mitzvah satorah. Okay, sixth line in the middle. Klomar. Shezeh hadin shenitztavinu bo hu mitzvat asei. V'hu amarnu shemisha naga b'kach al Torah kach nitma. U'misha haya al inyan kach lo yitma. If you touch the cat, you become tameh. If you don't, you remain tahar. Ve'hahitameh ba'atzmo rishut. The decision as to whether you want to become tameh or not is optional. Im ratza yitma, ve'im lo ratza lo yitma. You want to touch the cat? Fine. You don't. You don't.
I'm seeing this as not really tameh, not tameh, but the mitzvah is to support the system. system is you do something, you're an avil, you're this or that. The mitzvah is to support whatever their halach result is. That's the mitzvah. And you're showing your support of it by being tamei, becoming tamei, not being able to go to the Beit HaMikdash, having the halachas of avil or whatever.
Okay, good. But maybe that's a better way of saying it. Meaning, the Torah, we're just readjusting that we always thought every mitzvah is a value statement by the Torah. I want you to do this, I don't want you to do this. And we say, no, there's a third category of mitzvahs HaTorah in which the Torah wants you to respect the result of the halachic system. And just to, if you flip over for a second, there are results, and the Rambam is aware of them. If you look at number four, the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin says, Kol Yisrael, not just Kohanim, Kol Yisrael, Muzharin lihiyot tehorim b'chol regel. Not every day, but we all have to be tar before the regel. Why? Mipnei sheheim nechonim likanes b'mikdash v'lachol kachim. Because they have to be prepared to go to the Beis HaMikdash for the Shalosh Regalim and to eat kachim. V'zeshe ne'mar b'torah uvenivlatam lo tigau. Beregel bilvad. When the Torah warns you from touching a dead body, it's warning you to not touch a dead body before a regel, because it will prohibit, it will stop you, it will prevent you from going to the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'im nitma, but what if you do it? Eino lokeh. Even then, it's not a biblical prohibition. Aval bisha'ar yemot hashana eino muzhar. So the Torah basically says as follows. If it's Erev Pesach and I'm walking to shul, the Torah says don't touch the dead cat. Because if you touch a dead cat, you're not going to be able to go to the Beis HaMikdash. You're not going to be able to bring a Korban Pesach. You're going to lose out. But even there, if I touch the dead cat, I'm not in violation of a Torah prohibition. I'm in violation of a Torah value. Because the Torah made clear, wants me to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Now again, but if it's this morning, the Torah doesn't have a position on the dead cat other than to say, if you do it, you're going to become tamei. Now, here's the interesting thing. You may have claimed, as people do, we just had a big debate in Yeshiva last week over Hanukkah about, you know, going up to the Har Habayis. It was like a theme of the Mayun. So, what's clear, this is a side point, but what's clear is the Torah doesn't think I have to be prepared every day to go to the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah doesn't present a regime in which Jews go to the Beis HaMikdash every day. And, you know, you would say, if the Torah doesn't want me to go to the Beis, if the Torah told me not to touch a cat that's dead, why? Because it wants me, who knows, maybe this afternoon I'll commit a sin, I'll have to bring a chatas. The answer is we don't have to lead our lives that way. Going to the Beis HaMikdash is a unique privilege that we have. It's an obligation on us on the Shalosh Regalim. At other times, if you're Tahar and you want to go to the Beis HaMikdash, that's great. But the Torah doesn't even think you have to try to remain Tahar just in case tomorrow you want to go to the Beis HaMikdash. If you want to go to the Beis HaMikdash, you'll be Matar yourself. Okay.
Would it be fair to say that it's not that becoming Tamei is bad, it's that less than ideal in some respects?
I don't know. No, see, I think the Torah doesn't have a position. If it's going to prevent you from going to the Beis HaMikdash when you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash, then it's bad. If it's not going to prevent you, then it's neutral.
How do I become Tahar today? There's no Beis HaMikdash to go to.
Correct. Yeah. And there's no way for we're all Tamei Mase now. There's nothing we could do about it. Okay? Now. Okay, the Rambam quotes the Sifra. We'll look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Right in the middle it says, V'lashon Sifra, and there's parens. Uvenivlatam lo tigo. The Rambam says, I didn't make this up. It says the Sifra. Yacholim naga adam b'nevela yilke arbaim. I might have thought that a regular Jew who touches a nevela will get makos, Talmud lomar. Ula'ele titamo. The Torah says, no, you're allowed to touch dead animals. Yacholim ra adam nevela yelech v'yitma lo. Then I might have thought the Torah wants me to touch a dead animal. Talmud lomar uvenivlatam lo tigo. Don't touch. Haketzad have omer rishut. Again, the Rambam says it's a value-neutral statement of the Torah. We're not telling you to touch. We're not telling you to avoid touching. We're telling you, if you touch, this is the result. We'll finish up. The mitzvah, again, the Rambam knew it was radical, so he tells you for the third time. The mitzvah is the result. Shemisha naga bizeh nitma v'yihiyet tamei
V'yitchayev lo ma shehitchayvu atmeim lotzeit chutz la machane shechina. You have to leave the Beis HaMikdash. V'shelo yochal kodesh, you're not allowed to eat, you know, truma or kachim. V'shelo yigabo, you're not allowed to touch them. V'zulat zeh. There are practical implications. V'zeo atzivui kolomar heyoto tamei b'zeh hamin kashen agabo o kishiyeh etzlo b'inyan kach. Again, says the Rambam, that the mitzvah is the result. That if you touch a dead cat, you become tamei, and therefore you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you can't eat truma, and therefore you can't eat kachim, etc., etc. Yes?
Why is this any different from if you're speeding? It's not good or bad, and you're going to get a ticket. That's just how it is. That's the result of speeding.
Because you know better, you made that up.
Why?
Because the law is, we don't want you to speed. The way to stop you from speeding is to give you a fine if you speed.
And this,
it is a value statement. The Rambam is specifically saying here that the Torah is not making a value statement.
But it sounds like if you're losing the right to go to the Beit HaMikdash when you may want to be there, it sounds...
But you made that up. I mean, the Rambam is...
the result of being tamei.
Okay. So a person could say...
You can't fulfill the ideal situation of being in the Beit HaMikdash.
So I just told
you,
I just told you. It's clear in the Rambam, and I think elsewhere, that the ideal situation is that a Jew, not that a Jew lives in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a thing that you do from time to time. And you do not have to avoid touching a dead cat so that you can always be available to go to the Beis HaMikdash.
So he could never mitahir himself. Once he becomes tumah mat, let's say, he says, you know what, okay, I'm tumah mat. That's how it is, like we are today. And no. So I'll never go to the temple. Big deal.
But if you have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel and the Sholosh Regalim, so you have to prepare yourself. By the way, that might be a mitzvah saseh. To become tahar. Or it might just be... See, if I tell you, there's a mitzvah saseh that a person who's tamei and he has to go bring a Korban Pesach should be mitahar himself, you'd go, great. I understand that completely. Mm-hmm. What if I told you that the Torah says a person who's tamei and wants to become tahar has to go through this process? That process is a mitzvah. The Torah is not telling you to do it or not to do it. It's just telling you there's a process. It says the Rambam, wake up. These things exist all the time and they're in the Tariag mitzvahs. Okay, who disagrees? Aside from most people here, the Ramban. The Ramban right there in the Sefer HaMitzvahs in number 3. The Ramban, after quoting the Rambam, and it's so cool how he says it. Va'ani im kol arichut divrei harav v'ha'akdama shehikdim l'chol minei tumot, says the Ramban. It's very lovely that the Rambam wrote this whole long piece explaining why he's doing it and trying to make it very clear. Says the Ramban, I'm not buying it. Lo ra'iti lehavi din hatumot b'cheshbon ha-mitzvot. Says the Ramban, I do not count any of these categories of tuma in my Sefer HaMitzvos, specifically for the reason that everybody here was thinking. Lefi shehein rishut gumura mikol tzad ein bohem inyan mitzvah shetimne. Because, says the Ramban, they are value neutral. There's no imperative, do this. There's no prohibition, don't do this. You see, Bruce, he disagrees with you anyway. He says basically they're value neutral. The Ramban agrees with the Rambam that touching the cat you could do or not do, all he says, and therefore it can't be a mitzvah satorah because it's value neutral. Okay, so the machlokas is clear. The Ramban holds, like everybody in this room held at 9 o'clock this morning, that a mitzvah saseh means I want you to do it, and a mitzvah lo saseh means I don't want you to do it. Okay, we'll read a tiny bit more. V'lashon sifra shehivi gam kein hu mevuar. He says the Rambam brought a sifra to support him, but it doesn't support him. Okay, it's not Haveyom Rishus. The sifra says it's value neutral. Now, I'll give you an example. We won't read the whole Ramban. The Ramban says even the Rambam is inconsistent on this. And the Ramban brings as a good example of a parallel situation, mumim. What's a mum? A physical blemish. The Ramban says, you know, there are all these mumim that prevent people from going to the Beis HaMikdash, or more specifically, a Kohen who has a mum is prohibited from doing avoda. Okay? It's obviously not a good thing that a Kohen is prohibited from doing avoda, but also, it's not a value statement. A Kohen was born. you know, without a finger. So he's a Baal Mum. So he can't do Avodah. So says the Ramban, why doesn't the Rambam count that as a mitzvah? Right? If you have a Mum, the result is you can't do Avodah. So says the Ramban, even the Rambam isn't consistent on things like this. There are many situations in Halacha where there's if X, then Y, and it doesn't get counted.
And
okay,
if you fix it, it would be a positive mitzvah to fix that Mum?
No, so, there's no way to fix it.
Let's say there would be. Plus
there isn't
surgery,
a way.
There would be.
But there isn't.
Yeah, but that's what these...
That's not the point. The mitzvah is, the fact is, a Kohen who has this Mum is prohibited from working in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ramban, that doesn't make it a mitzvah. The Ramban says that's exactly the parallel of the Rambam saying, the person who touches a dead cat becomes Tameh. But, so says the Ramban, the person who touches a dead cat becomes Tameh is also not a mitzvah. It's
no.
just a halachic result.
No, so if you
I understand your
it,
question.
Does he have a mitzvah to
No,
it,
it's just not a mitzvah satorah. I understand your question. I'm saying no. Oh. Now, if you could fix it, it would allow you to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that's something you want. So great, do it. Not everything you want is a mitzvah. Not every Torah value is a mitzvah.
It sounds like that's what God wanted for the Kohen.
It sounds
he
that way to you.
Born with a Mum.
If the Kohen, if God wanted that, fixed. He wouldn't have made the Kohen with a Mum. You're missing a finger because God made you without a finger. So you figured out what God wants? It's not that simple. Hmm. Okay.
But according to the Ramban, I'm sorry to go back to my previous example, the Aninut thing, and Ramban would say, okay, you know, you became Onen on the first day.
No,
the
but again, the reason why I disagree with you, your example is a great one. I disagree with you because it comes with obligations.
Aninut?
Yeah.
It comes with that you shouldn't put on tefillin.
Correct,
well,
okay.
You don't have any mitzvot asei.
Okay, good.
Because and that's a result of your personal status, which you didn't choose. I mean,
okay,
a relative died. And you became automatically.
Right. So I'm sorry.
That
so
doesn't make it a mitzvah. I mean, according
so the Ramban might say it's not a mitzvah. I don't know. But now, I want to suggest, and I could be completely wrong about this. I want to suggest that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, which is just the machlokas, it's just the most technical machlokas in terms of whether you count something or not, could be related to a discussion about whether halacha is real or not. Whether Tumah and Tarah is real, right? Well, is there some, you know, could there be some spectral, you know, electromagnetic device that you could put a person through and you could see whether he's Tameh or not? Okay, I know that sounds crazy.
Nice.
So, one second.
What's the effect of what you think? If there would be, then
let me explain. Let me explain. A little background, okay? In... I forget how many years ago there was a nuclear reactor, you know, leak in Fukushima. Okay?
Not too
so,
long ago.
So they went around, you know, with Geiger counters to measure radiation. And if the radiation in your house was too great, you know, you had to leave because it was dangerous. Okay? Remember that. Look at this pasuk. The pasuk in number 5 says as follows. This pasuk is talking about Saras Habayis. What's Saras Habayis? Leprosy of the house. How do you get leprosy of the house? The Kohen comes and declares that the house has leprosy. If the Kohen declares that your house has leprosy, very bad news. It means your couch has leprosy. It means your refrigerator has leprosy.
Trying to bring down the real estate prices.
Correct. Everything, you're just bitter because your house doesn't exist anymore. Okay, now.
That's
every
I'm neutral.
You're bitter.
Yeah,
I
can tell.
Okay, now. Everything in your house now becomes Tameh. So watch what the pasuk says. Vitzivaha Kohen. So you wake up one day and you go, oh my God, I think I have Tzaras Habayis. What am I going to do? So what are you going to do? You're going to call Ghostbusters. Or in this case, the Kohen. So you call the Kohen. What does he do? Vitzivaha Kohen ufinu et habayit biterem yavoha Kohen lirot hatanega. The Kohen says, listen, I'll come at 3. Take everything out of the house before I get there. Why? The Torah says it's a pasuk. B'tam yavo ha-kohen lirot ha-nega v'lo yitma kol asher babayit v'achar ken yavo ha-kohen lirot ha-tabayit. And only then, after you took out your couch and your refrigerator and your flat screen and all the things that are valuable to you, then the kohen comes. So if the kohen then declares the house to be impure, all those other things are not impure.
Because you
so because they're not in the house.
That sounds like it's not.
So now I go, wait, the inspector, right? You know, Commander Yokomado is coming with his Geiger counter. I'm going to take all the stuff out of the house. So if it turns out that my house has radiation, the couch won't have radiation. That's ridiculous. It's not the Geiger counter that gives your house radiation. It's the fact that your house has radiation. The Geiger counter is just the thing that determines the level of radiation. So what you see in the pasuk is, what makes the house have tsaras? The Kohen. The declaration by the Kohen. It makes it sound like the whole thing is a halachic fiction, and therefore, if it's a halachic fiction, I could play a game, you know, with the support of the Torah, so that my couch won't be tamei. That's one possibility.
I just wanted to mention something because I noticed this. As a older, I noticed this. When people have,
you're getting older.
Sorry,
you're getting older.
You know, not,
I don't want to make fun of you,
but I think.
Okay.
But in any event, just so I can stay with that. So in any event, the thing is, when people have some usually terminal-ish disease, mm-hmm. the practice in from circles is to not talk about it. And so I got suspicious about this. So I asked my rabbi about this, and he said. And I proposed a theory to him, and he said that he believed that I was right, that basically reality is controlled by people's, to some degree, by people's thoughts. If you look at this, you know, Baruch
so you could cure a guy of cancer by not talking about it?
There is a placebo
the
effect.
Intensity of the difficulty of the problem enters reality proportionate to the amount of people who talk about it.
With all due respect, it was as simple as that. You could cure yourself by never going to the doctor. I was never diagnosed. No one ever talked about it, so therefore I'm healthy.
In some cases, that's true.
Not what I said.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I said that the intensity of the illness. Is proportional to the amount talked about. I'm not saying you can cure it.
I mean, you're right. The less you talk about it, the less obsessed you are. My wife's family had a different minhag. They would whisper the word, "Oh my God, he has cancer." You know, like somehow that would be better.
Do you see Brighton Beach memoirs? I noticed it was so prevalent. I asked my rabbi, who was the son-in-law of Rabbi Soloveitchik, what was going on.
Okay, listen, we have the same thing. When my wife was we were pregnant with our first child, so we went like to Borough Park to go like look at baby furniture before she gave birth.
Sure.
Having the stuff delivered in advance wasn't even an option because it's an Ayin Hara.
Right.
You know, the guy said very clearly, when it's a boy or a girl, we didn't know, you know, you'll tell me boy or a girl, and I'll send you the stuff the next day. So okay, that's what Jews do. We're very superstitious.
Right. But my point is that having been more involved with
anytime you're ready.
Sorry.
The off button, I would suggest.
Off button.
Yeah. I just, you know.
But I could go back, you know. So okay. In any event, the thing is, the point is I've started to notice that a lot of people, that was my point, a lot of people talk like this. I talked to Rabbi Soloveitchik's son-in-law, who said also that it seems to be the reality.
Good.
The important point about this is,
that,
you know, you talk about what is reality.
Yeah.
Okay. So reality is three-dimensional stuff.
Yeah.
Time. We all know that.
Yeah.
Einstein comes in to play a little bit with that sort of stuff too. So it's not a little different.
Yeah.
And eventually, what happens is that you have Baruch Shamar, where you actually have spoken things. Create reality.
Okay. The person who can create reality by speaking is one person. His name is
Rabbi Einstein.
Okay. I wish I could do it.
But there's a popular... A few years ago, this book, The Secret, came out. And it emanated throughout the world. And the point being just that if you put it out there, the universe will make it happen. All the possibilities are out there. And then you can create it. I need
it's
a bicycle.
Medium. The medium is the message.
It's a big book.
Okay.
For those of you in physics, that's Heisenberg on halacha.
Okay.
Okay.
So all the possibilities are there.
Okay.
And you can act.
Now, back to the point. This approach, the Pasuk's approach to to Tumas Tzaras certainly makes it sound like it's not real. It's a halacha, and therefore, you know, you can work within the rules of halacha. I would say, if I could, that this is the Rambam's approach. That the Rambam thinks the mitzvah is, you know, it's not really true that touching a cat changes anything about my molecular structure, changes anything tangible in my body. It's a chiddush haTorah. That if I touch a cat, a dead cat, the mitzvah is maybe, you know, to believe that I've somehow changed. Right? It's hard for me to articulate this, but that's like a huge new thing. Because there's no machine that you could put me through that would show any difference. No, there'll never be, if I'm right.
Bro.
There'll never be such a machine. No, don't argue with me. Because it's not real. Because the Torah says, take the couch out before the Kohen comes. The Kohen makes the decision, and once the Kohen says it, it's true. It's real. And to accept that, if you want, okay, you could talk if you let me go overtime. Otherwise, you can't talk.
Okay.
Okay, fine. So, for the Rambam, I think that's a chiddush. The Ramban, and here I'm speculating because it's not really fair because there's much more to say about it. But let's look at another example. Okay, here's the rule of Tuma and Tara for objects. Okay, an apple. An apple that's on a tree can never become Tame if it's attached to the tree, right? You know, I don't care if there was a guy sitting in the tree and he got shot and he fell on the apple. The apple is attached, it's still Tahar. When the apple falls off the tree and it becomes wet in some way, you have to be Mukhshar Lekabel Tuma. It means there are seven types of liquids that if they touch the apple, make the apple, you know, ready to become Tameh. And that's the pasuk number 6. V'chiyutan mayim al zera v'nafal minivlatam alav tamehu lachem. Once water, you know, lands up on something that grew, then it can become Tameh. The question is why? Says the Ramban, v'ta'am ha-hechsher, the reason why something has to become wet before it can become Tameh, Ba'avur ki lichluch hasheretz v'hametam'im yidbak b'ma'achalim b'lachut. Because, says the Ramban, Tuma attaches to wet objects. The Ramban says, it's what we see every day. If you take a ball and you take an apple and you roll it through sand or through some dirt or dust, so when you pick it up, there might be something on it, but you could shake it off, there might not be anything on it. If you roll an apple through mud, right, all the mud attaches to the apple because it's wet. Okay? V'lo kein b'yveshim. It's not true in dry. And the Ramban goes on to say, and so you'll say, okay, but what's the point if the apple was wet but now it's 100% dry? So the Ramban says the Torah didn't want to distinguish. What do you see in the Ramban? And I admit, this is a huge generalization. What do you see in the Ramban? Because I have other proofs to this.
It's a real thing.
He relates to Tumah Tahara like it's a real thing somehow. Mm-hmm. So if it's a real thing that you can actually see in a human body, I would say for the Ramban, Tuma is a kind of disease. Okay, the Ramban thought that a woman who was a Nida, you know, there's obviously something physical about it. The Ramban thought it was a form of illness, which in fact it really could be. Okay? So my suggestion is that the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam because he doesn't think it's such a big deal. Of course, when you touch a dead cat, you become Tame. Because you touched a dead cat. It's a real phenomenon somehow. Something changed in you, and you became Tame. So don't tell me that it's one of the tires. It's just the result. You know, if you go out in the rain without a coat, you can catch a cold. If you touch a dead cat, you become Tame. But for the Rambam, touch a dead cat, nothing happened. It's a miracle of the Torah that you became Tame. Now, just because I can't resist, I want to do one more thing, which is obviously related, and that is to ask you whether you believe, you know, that like Dinei HaTorah actually exist, or they're just the rules that we live by. I'll show you. I don't want to lose too much time because we have to finish on time. But I'll show you something fascinating. Okay, there's a Gemara, the Gemara number 7. The Gemara in Yuma says, Tan dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Aveira mitamtemes libo shel adam. An Aveira does something physical, it blocks up, you know, your soul. Okay? And he says, it's a pasuk, Shnemar velo titama'u bahem vinit meitem bam, they'll become tame, al tikre vinit meitem, ela vinitamtem. That you'll become blocked up. We have this idea that if you eat tarfus, you know, like, somehow it affects you. Now, you're all... Huh?
Who has that idea?
We have this idea.
Galen Houser.
It exists.
Galen Houser said, you are what you eat.
Yeah. Exactly. I went to high school with him. I remember when he said it.
Yeah, he's older than you.
Okay. Now.
We as a generalization.
Huh? Yes.
I remember Chabadnik telling my wife when she was pregnant that if she had chalav akum, something would happen to the baby.
And?
My wife is pregnant.
And?
If you have... Oh, did something... My son turned out okay, in my opinion.
And you know that your wife had chalav akum?
She was eating Haagen-Dazs at the time.
And that has what to do with me?
Yeah, because you just said we believe that.
Yeah,
it was Haagen-Dazs.
By the way, okay. One second. Not only do we believe, you believe. Watch, listen, and learn. Okay, here's the din in number 8. Chaticha she'ena ra'uya lehitkabed, a small piece of meat, not like a big steak, a small piece of meat that's not, you wouldn't serve it by itself, right? Because it's too small. Shenit arva ba'acherot, that got mixed up, you know, lamb chop and identical looking lamb chops, but that, you know, but pork, let's say, it's a better example. You can't tell the difference, they're mixed up together. Yavesh bi yavesh, right? They're dry, they're not touching each other. Batla afilu chad bitray. The real halacha is that if you have 3 pieces of meat in front of you, 2 of them are lamb chops and 1 of them is pork, 3 pieces of meat, the 3rd one is batel. Okay, now put you on the spot.
It's like boiling 3 eggs.
That's the din.
Yeah, it comes from Kodesh.
That's the din. Okay, how many are you eating now?
3.
You're eating all 3?
Yeah, well, some wouldn't do that.
Okay, first of all, I don't believe you. You just say that because you knew I wanted you to say 2.
No, I'm sorry.
But let's go on.
I was the only one in the Daf Yomi Echulim when he brought the example. I was the only one that said I'd eat it.
Now, let's go on.
I don't have any problem.
Because we're going to run out of time. The Beis Yosef says, Ve'ein tzarich, here's the din. Ve'ein tzarich, you're right, you're 100% right. Ve'ein tzarich la'ashlich achad k'neged ha'yisur. You could eat all 3. Now, V'had de'amrinan le'el, de'maram, de'maram me'rutenberg, natan echad le'goy, the story was, the Maharam Rutenberg in this situation gave 1 piece of meat to a guy.
Without knowing which one.
Right? There were 10 pieces of meat. So he ate 9 and he gave the 10th away. Why? Because if you eat all of them, for sure you're eating a piece of pork. For sure you're eating a piece of pork. Now, the halacha is it's not pork.
Right.
But we know that it is pork.
Right.
Okay, 1 second. So he would do it. So why did he do that? He was so holy, he didn't want to put a piece of pork into his mouth. Now, I'll say it for me because otherwise it'll take too long and we already have people who are lying. So, if it was me and there were 10 pieces of meat, I'll show you something interesting. There were 10 pieces of meat. I would eat 9, you know, and give the 10th to, there's plenty of people you can give the 10th to. Because I don't want to put pork in my mouth. But,
you did.
1 second. But, here's the other case. I got chalent, a huge pot of chalent, and a little bit of butter drips into my chalent. But it's pachos mishishim. Okay? So now, I'm eating the whole chalent. I'm not leaving over a little bit at the end. Because I don't think that if butter, I don't see butter as ruining me. I understand the Torah said, I shouldn't eat them together. But I know what milk tastes like. I know what meat tastes like. I know I'm not allowed to eat them together, but I'm not terrified for a little milk to get into my mouth. But pork, right? Pork seems like I'm going to get cooties or something worse. If you put pork in my mouth, it's going to ruin my life. I'll never, my children, my grand, you know, who knows? I'll have bad breath. It's like, we believe, I'm saying, we have two different approaches to halacha. Sometimes we're like the Rambam, that it's just a huge invention of the Torah. Sometimes we're like the Ramban, where, no, it's the natural result of. In the end, just to come back to the original point, the Rambam really does believe there's a category of mitzvot haTorah that are up to us. They're simply halachic results, but the halachic result is such a chiddush haTorah that it made it into the Tarag mitzvot. Yes,
Chav. Right. Sure. Thank you, Rabbi.